Chapter 12.
Clovers are attacking! Run! Hide! They found us!
The call of alarm continued to ring out loudly, but no one seemed to know what to do with this information, and everyone was running in all directions at once while screaming like chickens. I just finished my second practice session with the sword, so I was still far from an expert, but I at least knew the basics of how to defend myself. I would do better than I had in the Mushroom Valley. I considered going down into the roots to grab a potion or two to assist me in this fight, but I didn't want to waste the magical liquids if it wasn't necessary, so I dismissed the idea for the moment. Dr. Kriya said she'd yet to identify most of them, and besides, they would still be an option if I found myself in hot water with the clover cards. How had my enemies found my safe haven? Had the clover cards followed our trail? The ink blobs we'd killed had left an accusatory stain on the ground, and we'd pulled the wagon back to the tree. It was possible there were marks, and I was filled with uncertainty. I wasn't sure how they'd discovered the location of Havenwood, but I knew one thing for sure. We were no longer safe here. As the dreamer, it was up to me to keep the people of all the land safe from harm, but I couldn't do that if the enemy was going to show up on our doorstep. Then, Miss Maggie's head appeared above the crowd, and I was grateful for the pig lady's height, making it easier to spot her. I grabbed Una and May's hands, and I pulled them toward the chef. Even though we were only a few paces away from the entrance to the dining hall, it still took us a while to cut through the animal people running in every direction.
"Everyone!"
Miss Maggie boomed in a voice loud enough for all to hear.
"Get into the dining hall! We must not let them sense any weakness!"
The horde of animal people traversing the rope bridges and catwalks changed direction, and within my next few breaths, everyone had crowded into the dining hall and swept us along with them. It was a tight squeeze since the room wasn't usually this full, but I managed to get inside the door with my two lady companions.
"What do we do?"
"We have to stop them. Oh, someone help us! Where's the dreamer?"
Everyone talked all at once, and the panic in the air was palpable. But Miss Maggie grunted and waved her hands over her head in an effort to silence the plethora of voices.
"We need scouts. Birds, fly over the field and see how close they've gotten."
"Yes, Miss Maggie,"
multiple voices chirped, and then a slew of bird people flew out the door and windows, which made the room slightly less claustrophobic. Then the pig lady scanned over the heads of the gathered citizens until she made eye contact with me.
"Alex, get over here,"
Miss Maggie commanded in a brusque tone, and she narrowed her beady eyes at me as I approached.
"What are you going to do to save Havenwood?"
"Yes, have the dreamer save us,"
a voice from the crowd called out.
"Alex will save us all,"
another echoed.
"Well?"
Miss Maggie asked as she leveled me with a hard look.
"We're all counting on you, Alex."
I swallowed hard as I gazed out at all the anxious and fearful faces staring back at me. The people of Havenwood were terrified, and they had nowhere else to go with the clover cards on their literal doorstep. They needed me to fight for them, and that's exactly what I planned to do.
"I will defeat the clover cards,"
I announced in a loud voice, and I saw Una's eyes well with emotion from across the room.
"But I am only one man, so I will need a potion. Anyone willing to put their lives on the line can join me, and maybe with enough people, we can drive the clover cards away from our home for good."
A bird flitted in through the open window and perched on the ledge.
"They're setting fire to the field!"
Everyone started to yell, scream, and run around, but I stayed by Miss Maggie's side as I watched the chaos unfold.
"We must abandon Havenwood!"
a feminine voice shrieked.
"We must find a new home! The dreamer will save us!"
another called out.
"I stay with you, Alex,"
Una insisted, but it was hard to hear her voice through the clamoring crowd.
"Let us fight!"
May shouted over the turmoil.
"The dreamer and I will face them in the field of battle!"
"We should hide,"
Ziti squeaked, and the furbay bounced up and down at my feet.
"In the roots, in the roots!"
"All right, all right,"
I said, as I lifted the palms of my hands.
"We need to stay calm. Freaking out isn't going to help anyone, and we need a plan."
"What exactly is the plan, Mr. Dreamer?"
the pig lady at my side asked under her breath.
"We can't exactly have them survive on hope alone."
I turned to Miss Maggie with a thoughtful frown. "Where's the safest place in Havenwood?"
"The roots,"
the pig lady informed me, which confirmed what I'd already suspected. "Then that's where the weakest among us need to go," I nodded with an air of authority as I placed my hands on my hips. Take your daughter and help Dr. Kriya keep everyone calm. Anyone willing to fight will stay up here. I'll be back after I put on my armor and grab a potion.
Yes, Dreamer.
Miss Maggie grunted with a crisp salute.
I will do as you say.
Good. I grinned. I could get used to this. Now, is there any water nearby? We need to douse the blaze before it reaches the tree.
The river on the eastern edge of the clearing,
the pig lady explained as hope lit up her eyes.
It feeds into the waterfall.
Gather as many baskets, buckets, or whatever else will hold water, I instructed in a hurried tone. I'm going to get my gear.
Listen up,
Miss Maggie boomed as she turned to the gathered crowd.
The Dreamer has given me his instructions, so gather round and pay attention. I'm only going to get one chance to explain. We're already running out of time.
We must fight,
May interjected with an impassioned lift of her fist.
They draw closer by the instant. I will not stand idly by while the minions of darkness are upon us.
The next thing I knew, the dodo woman flourished out the tails of her coat as she exited the dining hall with her head held high. I knew she was on her way to the clearing to fight, but I couldn't let her go out there alone. I just needed enough time to get my gear strapped on and get juiced up, but she didn't look like she was in the most patient mood. I didn't blame her, though, since we had an unknown number of clover cards getting closer and closer to the trunk of the tree we stood in. If our defense was to be successful, it would have to be a group project. While Miss Maggie explained the basics of my plan, I grabbed Una's hand and pulled her out the door. I need your help, I explained as we left the crowded dining hall.
It would be my pleasure to assist you,
Una replied with eager purple eyes. I nodded before I quickly led the way to my dwelling, and I was surprised at how comfortable I felt traversing the precarious paths of Havenwood. The cat girl hurried to match my pace, and in my next breath, we trotted over the rope bridge toward the ladders. Then we rushed toward my dwelling, while also keeping an eye on the ground below. The torchlights were still far in the distance, but they appeared to encircle the entirety of the sequoia tree Havenwood was built into. No matter which direction I looked, I could see a couple of dots of firelight. For all I knew, there was an army out there. I needed more information. Una and I reached my dwelling a few moments later, and the nervous cat girl shook as she assisted me with my armor. I strapped on the full set of gear we'd stolen from the ink bags we'd killed in the Mushroom Valley, and I chose one of the swords they'd carried with them, since it was in better condition than the weapon I'd gotten from Miss Maggie. It only took a couple of minutes to get ready with Una helping me, and I lifted the visor of the helm to plant a sweet kiss on her forehead. Her violet eyes welled with tears, but they didn't spill over. It's gonna be okay, I said in my most reassuring voice.
I'll be right by your side.
My favorite person in all the land promised with a brave lift of her chin. This is gonna be dangerous, I said, and I took both her hands in mine. I would feel much better if you went with Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya to the roots. You could keep them safe from me while I'm out taking care of the assholes threatening our home.
Our home?
Una bit her quivering bottom lip, and her eyes were earnest as they met mine. Yes, I nodded solemnly. In this crazy dream world I somehow woke up in, you are my home, Una. I can't tolerate the idea of anything happening to you. Please go with the others to the roots.
Fine.
Una sighed as she squeezed my fingers affectionately. The two of us returned to the dining hall, but we passed by lines of animal people making their way into the roots of the giant sequoia. Miss Maggie stood at the entrance, and she waved people onward with one hand while she scanned the skies for our scouts.
Get to the roots!
Miss Maggie shouted.
Everyone hurry! If you wish to fight, stay, but do not throw your life away. The Dreamer is here to save us.
Not the most helpful of chance, and I shook my head in awe at the height of their expectations of me. The people of Havenwood looked at me like I was a powerful sorcerer who could wave a magic wand and solve all their problems. According to Una, that magic wand was my dick, but I didn't have time to think about that just then. I had a treetop city to save. I ducked into the dining hall, and inside sat a gathering of random animal-like people with determined expressions on their faces. I had a handful of birds, 10 squirrels, several raccoons, and a pair of bear women as my mini army. And I hoped it would be enough. I would just have to work smarter and not harder. Thank you for volunteering to save Havenwood from the clover cards, I began in a determined voice. and I placed my hands on my hips and leveled my mini army with a hard look. It could get ugly out there, so this is your last chance to change your minds. I met their eyes individually, and they each nodded back to me in turn. No one moved to leave, and I couldn't help the proud smile that stretched across my face. Their bravery was admirable, but I wished there were more of them. I would still have to carry the brunt of the battle, but at least May was already out there causing havoc. Una listened to my speech with wide, love-filled eyes, but I could tell she was dreading our separation, no matter how temporary it could end up being. The beautiful cat girl put on a brave face, though, and my heart swelled with adoration for my courageous feline companion. Your primary goal will be to keep the fire away from the tree. Second to that, do anything you can to slow down or fuck with the clover cards. I received nods and salutes, so I was satisfied these people would give their all to the fight we were about to participate in. I didn't want anyone to lose their lives, but that would almost certainly happen if we did nothing at all. My troops scurried into action, and everyone with wings grabbed baskets or buckets before they flew out the window. The non-flying animal people hurried out the door, and I headed after them with Una by my side. We rushed to the trunk of the giant tree Havenwood was built into, and we jogged down the stairs. My metal armor creaked and clanged with every movement I made, and the echoes filled the crowded stairwell. I could hear the screams and yells from people still up in the branches, but at least the people heading down the stairs had a calm air. The roots were chaotic as well, with so many people shoved into the space. But I pushed my way through the animal people's bodies to Dr. Kriya, as Una followed in my wake. I need a potion, I said without any preamble.
I have a few identified for you to use.
Kriya's mousy ears waggled nervously, and her eyes flicked to the ceiling of the room.
I'm not sure how helpful they'll be, though.
Show me. I followed the doctor as she led me to her corner of the medical ward.
Would you prefer to drink Wisdom, Smell Good, or Purple?
Dr. Kriya showed me the bottles as she listed them off. You're right, that doesn't help at all. I'd have better luck just drinking one of the unlabeled ones at random.
If that is your wish,
the timid doctor replied, but her eyes were full of worry.
It could be disastrous.
I just have to chance it. I shook my head. We're running out of time. Dr. Kriya turned to inspect her baskets full of unlabeled potions, and her fingers shook as she selected a container full of a blood-red mixture. Thanks, I said as I pulled it from her grasp, and then I made my way back through the crowded roots to the stairwell. I hesitated at the bottom landing, and Una pulled on my good hand.
I don't want to leave you,
the cat girl murmured with fear in her eyes.
What if I never see you again?
We will be together again soon, I promised, and I brought the back of her hand to my lips.
Be safe,
Una whimpered, before she turned to head down the stairs toward the roots.
I can't live without you now.
We'll be drinking giggle juice in the dining hall before the night is through, I said, and I hoped my words were true. I waved her off, and then I turned to the field with squared shoulders. It was time for these assholes to get what was coming to them. Namely, me. I bit down on the cork protecting the contents of the glass bottle in my fist, and then I tossed the liquid into my mouth as quickly as I could.
Die, minions of evil!
May's voice cut through the chaos, and I spotted the feathered female dashing across the open field with her sword jutting out in front of her. I trotted after her, but I flicked my head from side to side in search of any enemies as I caught up to the dodo woman as I waited for the potion to take effect. May swung around when she heard the metallic clanging of my metal, and she lifted her sword as though she were about to strike me. I pulled my sword out just in time to block her blow, and I held up the flat of my hand to ward her off.
May, it's me, Alex! I hissed through the visor of the metallic helm. I stole some of their armor, remember?
You dress as one of the evil minions?
May tilted her head to the side in confusion, but she lowered her sword at the sound of my voice.
Dreamers do not usually deceive.
Well, I would rather be protected. But enough talk. Let's go kill some ink bag bastards.
It is a lovely time for it,
May nodded curtly.
They shall rue this day.
Then the dodo woman took off at a brisk trot toward the tree line on the edge of the clearing, and I could still see the dots of light from the clover card's torches. The lights grew brighter and larger in my vision as I chased after May. But then, as we drew closer, the dots shifted into torches held in the armored fists of the clover cards. They were holding the torches to the tall, dry grass that surrounded Havenwood, and the ensuing blaze illuminated their silver silhouettes. What was taking this potion so long? I still didn't feel any different, but I'd wasted enough time already. Maybe the potion was a dud. Yeah, fuck it. Come at me, bro, I taunted as I flicked my wrist to swing my sword in a wide arch, and the closest clover card turned to face me. I heard the screech of bird calls overhead, and an instant later, a load of water was dumped onto the fiery blaze, eating away at the tall grass. Two more buckets of water were poured over the fire, and then the flames were extinguished.
Ah, fuckers!
The clover card closest to me cursed, before he searched for a fresh dry spot to ignite.
You're the fucker, fucker!
I growled, and I swung my blade over my head before bringing it down against his dominant hand. My weapon sliced through his wrist, and black blood sprayed from the gaping wound left by his amputated fist. The clover card held his spouting wrist and stared at it for a moment. But he didn't scream or cry out in pain, and I wondered just how alive the ink blobs really were. I really needed to come up with some more clever jeers, but I didn't have time to think of any in the moment, since another clover card was trotting over to assist the one whose hand I'd just amputated. The clover card was less than 10 paces away from me, and my heart began to hammer against my ribcage. I gripped the hilt of my sword, and I prepared for the impending attack. My eyes remained locked on my approaching enemy, but then my vision blurred, and everything went red. I blinked rapidly to clear my sight before the clover card killed me, but when I opened my eyes, the ink bag was laying on the ground with a red-hot hole burned through his armor. What the fuck? May fought her way to my side a moment later, and the two of us stood back to back while we parried the blows of the clover card's swords. But every time one of the ink bags got close to me, I saw red again. Every time it happened, another card man died. And then I finally realized it was me doing it. The potion had worked after all. I decided to experiment with this mysterious ability a little in an effort to identify my new powers, and I focused my sight on a clover card fighting against the dodo woman. I saw red once more, but this time I fought to keep my eyes open. And lasers burst from my eyes to burn the animated card. His armor melted beneath the intense heat, and the sizzling sound of his breastplate dissipating around the blast filled my ears.
Holy shit! I had Superman laser eyes!
I smacked away another asshole sword, and I swiveled just in time for May to do a wide swing that lobbed off my enemy's head. Then I stabbed the clover card, lunging for her back in the gut, and the ink bag thing keeled over. The two of us worked in unison to combat a pair of enemies before us, and once they fell, we found ourselves alone on the edge of the clearing, standing in a pool of inky black blood.
Do you see any more?
I asked as I searched for more torchlights.
Over there,
May declared, as she pointed roughly 50 paces away. Sure enough, the dots of light that flickered and flitted about could only be one thing. More clover cards.
Let's go,
I said, and I trotted in the direction of more enemies without a second look at the bodies of the ink bags I left behind me. It was easier to kill a faceless bag of ink than it would be to kill something more human-looking. Of that I was certain. As we approached our new targets, I focused on the one furthest to the left, and then I moved down the line with my laser vision. I wasn't sure how exactly I activated it and stopped it, but it definitely appeared to be tied to my thoughts. Whichever enemy I focused on faced the brunt of the attack, but the instant I wanted to stop, the lasers simply ceased. Every time I blinked, another card died, but the clover cards didn't cry out when I killed them, so the only sound was the metal of their armor liquefying and the ink of their bodies boiling. May caught up to me a moment later, and she flicked some black blood from her blade as she ran by my side. We kept our swords at the ready, and my eyes were locked on the flickering lights ahead. I could hear the screech of birds, the chatter of squirrels and raccoons, and several other animal noises, but I couldn't see much in the pale green shadows. I didn't think the laser vision would work unless I could clearly see my target, so I waited until the clover cards drew close enough for me to annihilate them with a single look. The moon was less than full tonight, and the shadow of the sequoia painted a black line across the clearing. I followed this line to the other side where the torches were, and I motioned for May to be quiet as the clover cards approached. It was hard to move silently in the metallic pieces of gear I wore, but I did my best, and we drew steadily closer to the beams of light. I scooted around behind the clover cards and approached them from the other side, so they let out gasps of alarm when May and I jumped out of the shadows at them. It was two more of the armor-covered ink bags, and May didn't give them any time to react before she sliced into them like they were made of cheese. I slowly clapped for the beautiful bird woman once she stood in the center of their bodies, and she flourished down into a quick bow before we trotted after another pair. Just then, flames burst into glorious existence on the other end of the clearing, and the blaze illuminated the silhouette of a battle between a group of animal people and clover cards. They needed my help.
May, over there!
I called out as I pointed toward the inferno, quickly devouring the tall, dry grass.
We have to put out the fire and save those creatures!
I was hesitant to use my laser vision from this distance just in case I missed and ignited even more of the dry grass, but I still had my sword.
Never fear! I shall guard your lovely rear!
May declared, and the two of us took off running toward the other side of the clearing.
Get back!
I shouted as I skidded to a halt a few paces away, and my feet slid in the dirt.
The dreamer has come to save us!
A raccoon woman flashed a brilliant smile at me as she clapped her hands.
Enough talk! Get back to the tree!
Yes, dreamer!
The squirrel said, and she pulled the raccoon away with a forceful tug. I barely had time to glance up before I had to block the blow of a clover card sword, but then May was by my side to claim his partner for herself. The dodo woman parried blow after blow while she whistled happily under her breath, and I could just barely hear the tune over the sound of metal striking against metal. I feigned to the right, and the clover card I battled fell from my ruse, which left his side open for my attack, and I drove my sword home beneath his breastplate. Black, inky blood sprayed from the wound like a confetti cannon, and I jumped away to avoid being soaked in the sludge. I was already getting much better with the blade, but it was nice to know I had a foolproof weapon to fall back on. The laser eye potion had definitely shifted the tide of the battle, and victory was now within our grasp. Then I spotted a couple of clover cards running toward the open door of Havenwood, and I whistled to May.
They're going after the door! Get them before they get inside the city!
Onward!
May chortled happily as she took off at a brisk pace toward the trunk of the giant sequoia. I searched for a new opponent, but it only took me a moment to find another torchlight flickering in the distance. I zoomed across the clearing as fast as I could, and I didn't slow down or stop as I approached the two clover cards. I ran straight up to them, ducked below their swinging swords, and then I saw red as my laser vision activated. The two cards were so close when I unleashed the fiery blast from my eyes, they melted into puddles of inky black blood.
Oh, fuck, that was awesome.
I was getting better with the sword, but adrenaline was coursing through my veins, and my heart hammered out a staccato beat against my ribcage as I ran toward my next target. I didn't take time to congratulate myself on my increased skill as I lunged toward my next enemy, but I had to admit I enjoyed the sound of my blade slicing through his breastplate. Blood sprayed in my face and coated my helm, so I lifted my visor. For the moment, the scene around me was calm, but that didn't last very long. In my next breath, I spotted May charging toward a clover card from across the clearing, and I rushed to my friend's aid.
Thought you could take all the fun for yourself, huh?
I teased as I fought off a second clover card, attacking her from behind by flashing him with my eyes of death.
Save some of the ink bags for the rest of us, will you?
Increase your speed, dreamer!
May taunted as she flourished her blade and removed her target's head. The dodo woman sure was impressive with her weapon, and I watched her in my peripheral vision as I melted the clover card I faced. She danced with fluid grace, and every move she made was deadly. I was enthralled, and I almost missed an opportunity to jam my blade into the ink bag's armpit as I watched her fight. We fought side by side once more, but it didn't take us much longer to eliminate the threat of the clover cards completely. Then we stood panting for breaths in the smoldering clearing, and I grinned at the dodo woman when she finally sheathed her weapon.
It seems the task is completed,
May observed in a pleased tone. Almost. We should do a sweep of the bodies and see if there's any clover cards still alive. I'd like to know how they found us.
Very good plan, Dreamer,
May complimented with a dip of her head. We made our way around the clearing, and we inspected each and every clover card, but every single one I found was dead already.
Over here, Alex,
May called out a moment later, and I trotted across the distance to her. May gestured to the clover card laying on the ground before us, and the ink bag sputtered as I kneeled down beside him.
This one's still alive.
You, I said, as I pulled the helm off the ink bag. How did you guys find our home? The ink bag gasped for air, but then I realized there was a puncture wound from May's sword on his breastplate, and black sludge seeped from the slice. You don't have much longer to live. I'd get to talking. Was all the clover card could gasp out. What? Spit it out! Right on cue, the ink bag sputtered again, and a slew of black, inky blood nearly sprayed me right in the face. Ugh, I didn't mean like that! I groaned as I leaned back a fraction. How did you find Havenwood?
The talking tree,
the ink bag stuttered, but then his head began to shrivel as he slowly lost blood.
Help me.
Anger bloomed in my stomach. Those fucking trees wouldn't talk to me, but they could tell the clover cards where we were. Fucking talking trees, I muttered, as I pushed myself up to my feet once more, but then I flashed May a tired smile. That was sort of helpful, at least.
He has left this world. What should we do with the remaining bodies?
I don't think we should burn them. We could set fire to the field again in the process.
Fair thinking, Dreamer.
May nodded.
So, we leave them be?
That could attract unwanted attention as well, I said with a shake of my head. Let's see what Miss Maggie thinks. I trust her judgment.
Oh, that stubborn pig won't say anything against whatever you choose. Everyone will follow your command, Dreamer.
Well, I wish I had more information to share with the others, I said as I removed my helm and raked my fingers through my sweaty hair. But all we know is a talking tree told them where we were.
The smiling trees are loyal to the Dark King now,
May informed me in a solemn tone.
They once stood as soldiers before they faced the magic of the many sorcerers. I'm sure he promised them some form of relief that is still forthcoming. Now they are doomed to stand as guardians to the realm, forever on duty. Some say that the trees standing in the happy fields are the same exact ones that appeared after the great turmoil. What a tragedy.
I wish I'd known that before I tried to talk to them, I muttered, but then I took a deep breath and let my frustrations fall away. There was no point in harping on it now. Besides, I hadn't given the smiling trees any pertinent information, so it wasn't like they knew anything other than which direction we'd gone in.
Seeing behind us is easier than the path ahead,
May said in a reassuring tone.
But you saved the people of Havenwood from the shadows of darkness this night. You should be proud, Alex.
I couldn't have done it without you.
Nor I you,
May said with a tilt of her head. Come on, I said as I flashed her a cheeky grin. Let's go tell the others the coast is clear.
After you, Dreamer,
May said as she flourished her hand in a sweeping bow. The Dodo woman's chivalry was quickly growing on me, and I couldn't imagine fighting without her in the future. We made a good team, and I grinned as I led her back to the trunk of the giant sequoia. I watched my mini army scurry inside the trunk ahead of us, and the door was still propped open, so I didn't have to sing the song to enter the stairwell. I went down instead of my usual up direction, and May followed behind me with curious eyes as we made our way down to the roots of the tree. When we reached the bottom, Miss Maggie lunged at me with a halberd as I entered the hospital-like room, and I held up my hands to ward off the blow.
It's me!
I yelled as I guarded my face with my arms.
Alex!
The Dreamer has returned!
A cheer erupted from around the room.
The clover cards are completely annihilated. It is safe to return to the treetops.
Oh, Alex, you're alive!
Una suddenly materialized by my side and jumped into my arms, and she wrapped her legs around my waist as she peppered my dirty face with 1,000 kisses.
That I am,
I chuckled beneath her onslaught of affection.
I thought I'd never see you again!
Una gasped without relenting her loving attack. Then her lips found mine, and her tongue was urgently pressing against my lips. I opened myself to her, and she tangled her fingers in my hair as the kiss deepened. "I'm here," I murmured as I nuzzled my nose against her cheek. "I'll never leave your side again."
"Let's go upstairs,"
Una purred in my ear before she nibbled on the lobe.
"I want to show you how worried I was about you."
I liked the sound of that. I could face off against the clover cards every single day if I was rewarded with Una's affection afterward. And I flashed the others an apologetic smile as I wrapped my arms around the cat girl and carried her up the stairs. I was sure they would understand the urgency of Una's request, but I didn't care what they thought either way. This was my dream, after all. I had a beautiful bombshell in my arms, and heaven awaited me. Being the dreamer was fucking awesome.